We thank you for the finished work. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, one who brings all things to our remembrance. Holy Spirit, we ask you to use us as an instrument to speak to your people. Let them know exactly what you want them to hear. We give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
We always normally do when I start my classes and I go back, I do a revert view of the last class. The Word of God says, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we set a foundation last week by giving you certain scriptures. And what we are talking about in the culture of honor is reestablishing God's government in the earth realm. As we know, the body of Christ, we've been going along. And the book is a supernatural book, the Bible. And we have not seen the supernatural occur as you've seen it in the Bible and all those great things that happen in the Bible. And so as the body of Christ, we seek God, we seek the Holy Spirit to figure out why we are not seeing those miracles, those signs, and those wonders. And basically it's because God's government is not set up the way he wanted it set up. We've been getting some mercy. God has been showing us some things. But what way God wanted and set it up in the Bible, he wanted to see it just like when Jesus walked the earth. When we walk up on the enemy, he wants us to destroy the works of the enemy, just like Jesus did. He said Jesus was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. So last week we started by setting up God's government. It's not a natural government, it's a supernatural government. God said, if you're not doing it my way, then you're doing it the way you want to do it. And if you're doing it the way you want to do it, the results you're going to get is your results. Basically, when you do it the way you want to do it, you become your own God. So, and when you become your own God, then the results you get are your results. Amen? So we started last week by going to Isaiah chapter 9. And this is what the Word of God tells us in Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to go through these scriptures, and then we're going to give you some information. Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6. Like I said, this is a repeat of last week, so we saw some of this last week. We're going to cover some more. It says, Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God is telling us here, he said, of his peace there shall be no end. Once that government is established, that his peace means that where there's nothing missing or nothing is broken. That means that everything in your life comes the way God said it in the Word. If it's healing for your body, that's for you. If it's lack and poverty, that's for you. So there would be nothing. If it's peace, if you're oppressed of the enemy, that won't happen because of God's government being established in the earth realm. And so what he said here, let's go to Ephesians. These are our review verses. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 17. I'll just cover some of the area I want to cover. Ephesians 2 and 17. It says, and came and preached peace to you, which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit, that's a large S there, so we're talking about the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. He said, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you all also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are built for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So as this government is being set up, the way God set it up, then what we become is a habitation of God through the Spirit. God comes in and he dwells in us, like he did when Jesus was on here. We go back and we see those scriptures over in John 17, where he was with him. Everything that Jesus did while he was on the earth, he said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. So the same thing with us. The scripture over in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 16, where it says that, he says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we have to be led by the Spirit, first of all. We know that Jesus was led by the Spirit. We know he was filled with the Spirit. He was led of the Spirit out in the wilderness after he got filled with the Holy Ghost, because he got baptized by John the Baptist over in the wilderness. And we all should be, just like Jesus did when he was here. But he set the example for us. He came as a man, but he had to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to operate in this kingdom, in this spiritual kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom. It is a supernatural kingdom. And we have to know that. We have to know that what God is talking about. God said, I'm the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. So God shall do this. In order for us to do like the disciples do, he says, it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And so Jesus himself, when he came up out of the water, John the Baptist baptized him in that water. He came up out of the water. He said, the Spirit of God lit on him like a dove. He said, the heaven was open. And God said unto him, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He had not did any miracles. He had not did anything. But he had came and he did what God. He was obedient. And he did exactly what God told him to do. And so when we came into the kingdom, God told us the same thing. He told the disciples, he said, look. He said, over in Luke 24 and 49, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you be endued with power and receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. And so we know they all went to this place called the upper room. They went in there and they sat there. They sat there and they was waiting for something to come. And then eventually the Spirit of God came. Let's turn over there. We can see what happened. We're talking about supernatural power, supernatural ability here. So if we're going to do what Jesus did when he was on the earth, then we have to go. We have to do it just like he did it when he was here. We don't do it like he did it, then the results that he got, we won't get the results. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater works, he said, because I go to my Father. And so, but he had did something. He said, I want to give you something, but you're not going to do these works unless you receive it yourself. So turn to Luke 24, and let's see that first of all. So we're just setting some foundation here, and so, because we're going to have a good semester this year. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. glory to God. So here in Luke 24 and 49, this is when Jesus got ready to say, I'll begin reading. I always read a little bit before and a little bit after so we can put it in context here, what the Word of God is saying here. It says, then open their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is, behold, Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This happened through the apostles. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Jesus had to have the power. He was telling his disciples and his apostles, he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. I'm going to send you something. I got to go away, but unless I go away, I can't send this power. See, at the time he was walking, he was the only one that was carrying the power. And he anointed a few that they also had that power. But he wanted everybody who was in the body of Christ, who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to receive this power. Go to Acts for me right quick. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to get back to the review of our notes here, but I needed to cover this. Acts chapter 1. He said, the former treaties, verse 1, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day it was in which he was taken up. After that, he threw the Holy Ghost. Had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He said, this was not a request. This was a command that they go and receive what he promised of the Father he was going to send to them. He said, who had given them commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, you have heard of me. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So we who are in the kingdom of God, we're going around, we're trying to minister to people and not doing it exactly the way God said. And so since we're doing it that way, then the results that we expect to get in the body of Christ, that's why 90% of the body of Christ or more is walking around and the enemy is eating their lunch. They go to church on Sunday morning, they praise God, they get up and they do praise, they do worship, they pray, but the results, the enemy, they still are sick. The body is sick. This body of Christ is still broke. And why? Because they're trying to do it their own way. They're doing it the way they want to do it and not the way God told them to do it. The Word of God tells us that in Jude 20, it says we build ourselves up in our most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So we pray in the Holy Ghost. We build ourselves up spiritually so we can operate in this kingdom the way God set it up for us to operate in. If we don't do it the way God told us to do it, then guess what? Again, we're not going to get the results. I mean, God is very specific in what he tells us to do. He tells us, he went back and got ready to build his temple. He told Solomon how he wanted that temple built. He gave him specific instructions. I go back and I think about when he told Noah to build an ark. He gave him specific instructions on how to do those things. And so if you don't do it the way God tells you, you're not going to get the results that God wants you to have. Because, you're doing it your own way. Let's look a little bit further here. In verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore came together to ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And so what they was thinking, when he said he was going to restore the kingdom, they was thinking about a physical, natural kingdom. But God said, no, I'm not, we're not talking about a natural kingdom. We're not talking about a natural government. We're talking about a government that God himself is going to set up. He's going to be in charge of this government. And he said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. And so that's why as we set up and re-see and see all the things that God is beginning to do, bring his glory back in the earth. The scripture tells us, God said, the earth is going to be filled with my glory. He said, God said that. But the only way the earth is going to be filled with God's glory is that he finds some individuals that can be obedient to what he's telling them to do, and he can work through them to get his glory in the earth realm. That's the only way it's going to happen. And so he says here in verse 6, he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. And he was saying, it's not for you to know exactly when I'm going to do this. But then verse 8 says, but you, all of you, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So it appears that we cannot even be witness unto Jesus unless we have to do just like he said and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Witness being that what Jesus did when he was on here on the earth and got was the power that came through him, we can have that same power and do the same thing that he did while he was on here. When we walk in upon a person that is blind, then we should be able to go to God and allow God to work through us to bring sight to that individual's eyes. Same thing about his hearing. See, Jesus walked in as a man. We have to have that conviction that Jesus modeled this Christian life for us while he was here on the earth. He did it for us. He showed us how to do it. He said, now, if you do it the way I do it, then you're going to get the same results that I get. Let's go back and look at some more scriptures that we covered last week. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about God's government, which is a supernatural government. But like I said, I had to lay that little foundation for you in order to know. Like I said, again, last week I mentioned the fact that, we have to know that we are in the kingdom. We have to know that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to know that we made that confession. We have to know that God raised him from the dead. We have to believe in our heart that he did that. And then once we do, we are faith people. Go to Romans 8. Let's look at Romans 10. Let's go over there and look at that right quick. Then we turn back to Ephesians. So like I said, I like to cover all the bases, make sure we're not missing anything. So you'll say, I read the scriptures, I saw it, but it's not working for me. Well, you're not doing what God told you to do. So if it's not working for you, that's why it's not working, because God set it up a certain way, and we should do it the way he told us to do it. Romans chapter 10. I cover these areas because I don't want anything to be missing. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. He said, but what saith it? The word is neither even in our mouth and in our heart. That is the word of faith which ye repreach. That if thou shalt confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, I mean Jesus Christ is Lord over every situation, and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says, thou shalt be saved. The apostle has brought us back to the cross. He took us everything that the cross has provided for us as believers. We who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It is a finished work. We need to understand that. We have to know that. Jesus finished this thing for us. And so since he finished it for us, then all we have to do is accept it, believe it, and receive it. And once we receive it, then the results are that he said we can have. Every promise in the Bible is yea and amen to us who are believers. We are believers, because once we believe Jesus, then we begin to get those results. It says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So now we're in the kingdom. This is a supernatural kingdom. This is a spiritual kingdom, not a natural kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. And we have to know that. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. And when he said, when he got to Ephesians 2 and 18, when he said, you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus was the cornerstone. He laid the foundation. The apostles came along and gave us doctrine on how we should operate in the kingdom and see the results that that Jesus got when he was here on earth. We here in the body of Christ, we've had the paradigm in the wrong place. And since we're putting God's government back in place, then we can begin to see those signs and wonders and miracles that God has sent. And basically, as we go, let's read Ephesians 4 before I go any further. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, capital S is the Holy Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith, one baptism, One God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. He says he's above all and through all and in you all. He wasn't in you until you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Once you accept him as your Lord and Savior, then he became one with you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God, gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, talking about Jesus, that's when he left and went up to sit on the right hand of the Father. He said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave these gifts so they can operate in the body of Christ the way he did while he was here. He gave them graces. We call them fivefold ministry gifts. We call them fivefold ministry graces. And so he put it on the inside. He gave it to them. And this is why he gave it. He says that now that he ascended, that means he went up. What is it? But also that he descended first into the lower parts of earth. We know he was buried. He was died on the cross. He was buried. He stayed in the ground 3 days, and he was resurrected. And then after he was resurrected, he ascended and sat on the right hand of God the Father. Amen? And so he says, he that descended is also the same, also that ascended up first above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So from eternity to eternity, Jesus Christ is Lord. So you can look at it that way. He said that he can fill all things. So he ascended far above all heavens, that he can fill all things. Then he said he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors and some teachers. That's why we call them the fivefold ministry gifts, fivefold ministry graces. It's that God said, I set it up this way. This is my government. I'm setting it up. Jesus said, I'm doing it this way. And he said, first of all, he said, for the perfecting of the saints. That means that the saints has to be mature. We who are in the body of Christ have to know how the things in the kingdom of God works. We go to, in the world system, we go to school. We learn how to operate in our profession. But we have to go to school in order to do that. We start off, again, in kindergarten, in junior high, in elementary, junior high, high school. We specialize, then we go on to college and specialize in that. But how long did it take us to do that? It took us sometimes from 12, that's 12 years, you had to go to school 12 years, and if you went to college, that's 4 more years, and if you specialize in something, that's 4 more years, and then I know my son-in-law went 12 years to finish up, and he's still in school, as long as I remember him, he's been in school. And so, we just go, we learn. But in the kingdom of God, we think we can come in and get saved one day, learn a few scriptures, then we can go out and train and teach people and bring them places. But guess what's happening? I always say, what's happening? The blind is leading the blind, and everybody is falling in a ditch. And nobody knows exactly how to get out of the ditch. So now, it's the same thing in the kingdom. When we come in the kingdom, we need to be taught. We need to be trained. We need to mature in the things of God. And if we're not mature, then again, like I said, then the results we get, we're going to get those results. We're not operating, then first thing going to happen is the word of God don't work for me. But we're not doing what God told us to do if it's not working for you. And so he goes on to say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? Work of the ministry is destroying the works of the devil. That's the work of the ministry. And so he put these fivefold ministry graces in these fivefold minister apostles, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he put it in them so that they could impart those graces to the body of Christ once they came in. Like I said, you came in from out of the world system. So now you got all the world system in you, but you got to get it out of it. God said, Jesus said, we can't put new wine in old wineskins. We have to put new wine in new wineskins. And so what we get, we got this new wine in us. And so now we got to be transformed. Word of God said, be not conformed to this world, but Romans 12 too. But be conformed, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to know what the perfect will of God is. And so if you don't know what the perfect will of God, how are you going to do what the perfect will of God is? So once your mind is renewed to the things of God, know how to do it. And say, so that's what we're doing. I'm trying to change your paradigm. I want to change your paradigm. The way you think about things in the kingdom. Where you've been thinking about pastor. We go into church. We got a pastor in the church. He's up here. But we forgot about the other gifts. We forgot about the apostle. Basically, as we get into our lesson and our setting, what we're going to find out that the pastor is more concerned about the people. The apostles and the prophets is concerned about what heaven wants here on earth. And they want to bring heaven here on earth. That's why when Jesus over in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus told his apostles, he said, when y'all pray, he said, this is how you pray. You pray this way. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, he said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. So we're going to heaven first, and we want what's in heaven to come to earth. He said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And so we know that they're in heaven. There is no sicknesses, there's no disease in heaven, there's no lack and no poverty in heaven. So God's kingdom here on earth should be operating on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to heaven because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But God wanted us to have days of heaven right here on earth. And so the only way you're going to happen, the only way you're going to do it is if we do it the way God told us to do it, and then we begin to operate in it, God's kingdom right here on earth. But we have to be trained, we have to be taught. You who are in the school right now, you're coming in at a perfect time. God is doing some mighty things here right now on the earth. Realm. He makes some change. He makes some paradigm shifts. And he reestablishes his government in the earth realm. And so what we're beginning to see, we're beginning to see God's glory manifest in the earth realm. We begin to see through his apostles signs and wonders and miracles are beginning to happen because God's government is being set. When we started this almost three years ago, this is one of the things that we say. Once we establish God's government and put it back the way God set it up, then those signs and those wonders that we see in the Bible is going to begin to manifest itself. God said, I'm not going to say, you don't have to do it anymore. He said, God said, the zeal of the Lord shall perform this. And so what our apostles is telling us, we as men, we have a certain amount of faith. We know about faith. God said in Hebrews 11:6, what did he say? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he said, we who come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so that's part of it. We got saved by faith. Then he talks about that anointing. He said, every man has a certain amount of anointing. You go over in 1 John 2:20. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. And so he put that anointing in us when we got filled with the Holy Ghost. That unction came into us. 1 John 2:20 and 2:27. Good scriptures. You need to know them. I'll tell you what. Make that your meditation scripture for this week. Go over and look at it. And then I go back to our lesson here. Did I get to any pointers? I haven't got to any pointers yet. But let's go to 1 John 2:20. And look at that, and then, like I said, we'll use that. 1 John 2:20, it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And verse 27, then add that to it. He said, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but that same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it had taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, when we get spiritual, we'll say things like, well, the Bible say, I don't need no man to teach me. That's not what the Bible is saying here. The Bible is telling us, he says, the Holy Ghost, when you need to know something, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. You still need someone to train you. That's what those apostles is for. It's to impart to you those things that's in the kingdom. God put those graces in him. And what are you going to do? He's going to come along, and as he ministers to you, that apostle's anointing is going to come off on you. If you stay there and you listen long enough, that teacher's anointing is going to come off on you. God said, I put enough grace in each one of those individuals that as you're sitting there and you're listening, those graces is going to come off on you. If you listen to an evangelist, that evangelist's grace is going to come off on you. That's maturing the saints. If it's a pastor's anointing, then that a pastor's anointing is going to come off on you. So each one of those graces that God put in, he didn't put it in for that personal use. He put it in them for the body of Christ. Those graces was given to those individuals. And he told us why they was given. If you read on through there, it says until we come into the fullness of Christ Jesus, that we be just like he was when he was walking the earth. Those graces was put into each one of those ministry gifts. And so let's look a little bit further. Ephesians chapter 4. Keep up with me here. He said, Ephesians chapter 4 13. He said, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when he walked the earth, he walked upon the works of the enemy, and he destroyed it. When we as the body of Christ, after we mature in the things of God, our surrounding, our people, our family, when we walk up on something that the enemy, John 10:10, what did it say? It said that Satan come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If you're not operating, if you don't have that abundant life, guess what? We are operating in the wrong side of the kingdom. We are operating in that side where you say you come to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, you should be on this side where you say, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so that's where the maturing come in. That's where the training comes in. That we've been learned, we've been trained, we've been taught, and so as these fivefold ministry gifts, they don't really teach you. What they do, they point you. They point you in direction. They give you things that the Spirit of God is saying. The apostles, he's going to heaven. He's finding out what heaven wants here on earth, and he's bringing that to earth, bringing from heaven to earth. And he become, that's why God, Jesus said, set up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So it becomes like a funnel. God said, I set my apostles up here so they can reestablish doctrine in the church, in the body of Christ. And then he funnels it down to the rest of the body, to the prophets, to the pastors, to the teachers. And so that's why we are not seeing those signs and those wonders, because the government has not been established the way God said it. We've had pastors in places that there should be an apostle. Every pastor somewhere along the line, if God had not called him to be apostle, what the word of God said? It's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. It began in the book of Acts. The book of Acts says, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and then they begin to see signs and wonders and miracles because it was operating the way God set it up. God's government, God said, I set it up this way. Go to 1 Corinthians and look at that. First Corinthians chapter 12, and I always thought, like, to read the first verse in there, and like I say, he goes through there and he reads, he talked about these nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit that every believer is, should use the prophet with all gifts of healing, words of wisdom, words of knowledge. So he talks about all that. He said, now, verse 1 said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he said, I would not have you ignorant. So if you're not ignorant, that means you learn in those things of the Spirit of God. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 27, I saw it there. It said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. He said in verse 28, he said, and God has set some in the church. First apostles. God said this. The word of God says it. I didn't say it. He says, and God says, he said, first apostles. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers after that. Then once we get the government set up, then we can begin to see those miracles, those signs, those gifts of healings. We can begin to see, though, after government has been properly set up, the way God set it up, then we can begin to see those things that God said would happen in his word, those signs and those wonders. Amen. So let me give you a few notes so y'all can say, he went through his Bible, but he didn't give us no notes. Remember last week I told you I gave you a culture of honor. I say that the culture of honor is the principle of honor states accurately acknowledging who people are. We position us, the church, to give them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. So I've set the government up. I've given you who they are, part of the God's government. And then Jesus told us over in Matthew 10:41, he said, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man. That's a principle set there. And so God said, what? But I've set these apostles here up in the kingdom. Apostles are going to heaven, finding out what it is that heaven wants. And you know, I've been in church for some a few years now, and so now the things that I'm beginning to see, you know, I've never saw it happen in church, and I always was wondering, you know, I felt like the prophet of old asked, where's all these signs? Where's all these miracles? You know, that we see in the Bible. I ask these questions. What's happening? Why we're not seeing them? Why, you know, I know God, Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. And so if he said you make it good, then you know, I go to him and I ask him, I say, well, where are the miracles? Where are they? You know, why are we not seeing them? Why are so many people, members, anybody of Christ sick? Why, you know, they can't get healed? Why is it they get on medication, on drugs, and they never can get off of these drugs? They stay on them. You know, I know part of the problem is these diseases become theirs. You know, I hear them say, my diabetes, my high blood pressure. So they take ownership. Yeah. And say, once they take ownership, it belongs to them. You know, and they, you know, when you own something, you ain't so easily give it up. Yeah. See, and once we find out what the word of God say, you know, in Isaiah 53, what did he say? He said, he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, I am healed. That's a done deal. And so because it's a done deal, I do not have to accept sickness and disease on my body. See, because what did he say? He said, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. And so if the enemy come and tell me that, you know, I got a disease that's incurable, that's the voice of a stranger to me, because I already know what Jesus have said. The government is set. See, God said, my government is set. And if my government is set, you follow my government. I'm going to train you. I'm going to mature you in the things of God until you can operate in the kingdom the way I set it up. And so now, one of the points is to say, names and titles are important. They define a person's role and identity, and when used correctly, establish God-designed relationships in which specific rewards are given and received to build and strengthen us. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 28, where you say God set them up. And so now, in the natural, we learn names. If I say President of the United States, everybody in here could call out the name of the President of the United States, because that's a name, that's a role. He has not always been President of the United States. He's a father, he's a husband, he was a senator, he was a community worker, but now when we say President of the United States, you know that's one of the most powerful positions in the natural on the earth rim, President of the United States. So in the body of Christ, if I say apostles, we should say, you know, that's one of the most powerful positions in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, here in God's government, on the earth rim. Because why? He's hearing from heaven. He's finding out what heaven wants so he can bring that to earth. See, and so when we do that, and so he said names and titles are important. It defines a person's role and identity, and when used correctly, establish God-designed relationships in which specific rewards are given and received and build and strengthen us. A culture of honor is created as a community of people learns to discern and receive people in their God-given identities, in their relationships that attract and sustain the outpouring of God's presence and power in our midst. And like I said, one of the things that the apostle is re-establishing in the church here at Word Life Christian Center is worship. And like I say, it's important for us to learn to worship God. We have to know who God is. And one of the things that as we worship God, we begin to see God's glory fill the temple. And he told us what glory is. He brought that back until, you know, unless we know specifically what the glory of God is, then we don't know what we have in it. So we wrestled that he gave, the congregation awesome instruction in what God's glory is. And if we're members of Word Like Christian Center, then we know what it is. But some of you are not members of Word Like Christian Center, so I'm going to tell you what it is. The glory of God is all that he is, all that he has, and all that he can do. And so, you can go back and you can find scripture that shows what he is. You can read 1 Chronicles 29:11, and you tell who he is. You know, thine are the greatness, thine are the majesty, thine, the kingdom is yours. And so, he goes on to explain who he is. And then he say all that he has. Proverbs tell us, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and everything that resides here. That's what he has. So that means he has everything, anything he wants, and all that he can do. The Word of God tells us that nothing. Mary said that when she talked about how she was going to have that baby, is that there shall be nothing that is impossible to God. So that means that anything that comes up that God can do, there's nothing that's impossible to him. So if anything, so if somebody come to you and say, you got an incurable disease, you say, I know better because I got a God who can take care of any situation. See, I know that. See, because I'm in this kingdom. I'm in a different kingdom. I'm not in the kingdom that you. I'm not in this natural kingdom. I'm in a kingdom that everything works for me. I got victory in every situation. See, and so once we know that, then we can operate in the kingdom the way God wants us to do it. God wants us. He wants us to have this thing. If he didn't, he say, go to Romans. I want you to see this. Go to Romans right quick. Romans 8. Verse 32. And I'm just throwing this in. This is a little lanyard here. He says, Romans 8:32. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. So free, he said, freely give us all things. And so if he gave up his son for us, when we were still in our worst condition that we could come into this kingdom, he said, once you come in, then anything that I got is yours. If you're operating the way I set it up. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. Let me give you some more pointers here. The name apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists and their distinct anointings, mindsets, and gifts create a network of relationships designed to bring the focus and priorities of heaven to earth. Like I said, when in the old paradigm, the paradigm was we was trying always trying to get to heaven. We was going from earth to heaven. God said, but what I want you to do is change the paradigm. I want you to bring heaven to earth. I want you to bring it down so you can have days of heaven while you're here on earth. So because once you get to heaven, these things that we talk about in the Bible, we're not going to need them up there. God wants us to have them right here. And so he said, I want to train you out of it. I want you to mature in them. I want you to know how to do it. I don't want you to know how to get it. But then I put people in position. I put apostles in position so they can show you. Worship is an important part of what we learn. We learn about the cross. And, as apostle is beginning, turn to Acts 2. I gave you a scripture, Ephesians 2:19-20. It says, built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You hear the whole semester, because like I said, it's important for us to understand. You know, more foreigners than strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. I mean, we're in a kingdom. When we think citizen, we think of our country, basically, but we're thinking about a country, the kingdom of God system. Here in Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42, it's saying, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Many signs and wonders. Turn to Acts 5. Verse 12. I'll tell you what, go back, go right back. I'll do 33. Acts 4 and 33. I need this for you to see this. So you won't think, where are they getting this from? It's coming from the Word of God. The Word of God is setting it up. He's setting you up. He brought you here and set you right in here. He didn't, it's not by accident you're sitting here. He wants you to know this. God wants you to know this. And since he wants you to know it, then it's our place to make sure you get this. Amen. So here in Acts chapter 4, looking at verse 33, it's saying, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's those gifts. God put those gifts into them. But they could not be a witness until they did what? That he told them to do. He said, go to that place and wait until I receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. And then once that, he said, and then you should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So they gave witness to Jesus Christ and him resurrection. Look at 5 and 12. It says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they say they always will one accord in Solomon's porch. But what I wanted you to see is that just like Jesus, when he walked the earth, those signs and those wonders took place. Jesus did many miracles while he was here on earth. He did it because that's what God wanted him to do. He wanted to destroy, God sent him. He wanted to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus called his apostles into the kingdom. And he taught them, he trained them, he showed them how to operate in the kingdom. And so it was many signs and wonders wrought by the apostles. And so now we came into the kingdom. Our apostles take us and train us the way Jesus trained his apostles. And so we can operate in the kingdom the way they did while they was here. And so that when we walk out, many signs and wonders can follow us. One other scripture before I go, and I know it's getting close to that time, but turn to Matthew. I usually use the one in Matthew chapter 28. It's my last scripture, but I will end on this one. I begin at Matthew 28:18. And like I say, it just go along right there. You know, there's no sense in being in a kingdom and not having power and not having authority. Word of God, Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power and authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means can do you any harm. So he's given us that authority, he's given us that power. You know, after we was created in his image, and then, Satan, Adam gave it up, but God said, I want to bring you back in the kingdom where you was in the beginning. And so through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, he brought us back. And here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it's saying, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In heaven and in earth. So we know Jesus sitting up on that right hand of the Father. And we're sitting seated with him. He said, you're seated also with him in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So we're sitting there right along with him. So that's a good thing to know. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even until the ends of the earth. So when we are doing things that he say we can do, then he's with us. He's right there. We're not doing it. He's doing it through us. Amen. And so I just wanted to leave that with you today. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father God, we thank you that we're not just hearing what you tell us to do, but Father, but we're becoming doers of what you say, Father God. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Don't forget your meditation scriptures, 1 John 2:20 and 27.